This portion of the show is brought to you by Just Wireless. Get more info at justwirelessaz.com.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Jeff Horovitz here with Angela on this beautiful, we got a beautiful day. We got this, the door open to the studio. Fly just came in. My dog Addie's, our dog Addie's jumping at each other. Why did he do that? And bees,
I don't know.
Too.
She loves to chase the bees.
Flies and the bees, and she flies, continuously gets stung. And you're like, how many times? And she's in dog terms, she's a fairly intelligent dog. But something just clicks.
Yeah.
Like this instinct, must kill. Must kill the bee.
Get rid of the bee.
Yeah, get rid of the bee. It keeps stinging me, so I keep biting it and getting stung in the mouth, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Then she looks at us like her whole world is destroyed, you know, and you're like, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe we've got people that are getting distracted by bees running the country and their mind temporarily goes blank. I don't know. It's out of control in our schools, though. We spend a lot of time here on the program talking about the state of especially public education, but in general, the weirdness that has, I guess, blanketed our civilization. It's just gotten weird.
Yeah.
And it's so much further down the rabbit hole than I ever thought we'd get. And, you know, this idea, and we'll get into it here in just a second, but of the furries. And every time it comes up where somebody says, well, we're allowing these kids to, like, be whatever they want. They could be a tree. They could be a cat. And they go around and they dress up and they, you know, growl at people and stuff and really odd behavior and things you'd, like, try to teach kids not to do. Like, imagination is one thing,
yeah,
but when you start, like, prowling the halls of school,
you're acting in a play and you're the, you know, dinosaur or whatever, can roar and you can,
but come on, we've taken this a little too far.
Yeah, this is not school behavior.
Yeah. And then articles come out or people report on this, and then again the bought and paid for corporate media would then come out and they try to debunk everything. No, it didn't happen. And
they deny it.
Talked to people who say, no, my daughter teaches you know, in this school district, and she saw it.
Yeah.
And this actually happens. And then there's, Blaze did a report on this, I'll get to it, that there was a school up in Utah that was doing it, and they deny. Now they're like, okay, well, maybe there's something there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just really bizarre behavior. And then you get into the pronouns. I got an example of that. And you're like, no wonder why we have this identity crisis. Then you were talking about, you'll share with us a little bit about a fitness place in just a minute, that you know, it's like there's a dude in the girls' locker room just like shaving allegedly. I think she tried to take a video, but then I guess you get into trouble in the locker room.
Yeah.
But then what can you do if you're a girl in the girls' locker room and there's a dude there, you know, bearing all? I mean, what else can you do other than say, nobody's going to believe me?
Right.
So let me get the video evidence. We'll get to all that and much more. Get some Arizona items I want to hit on too. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. If you want to send an email, comments. If you want to sell your home in the Flagstaff area, call my good friend Kelly Broadus with the Broadus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. If you're looking to buy a home too, and Kelly just did a show with me, last week, where she talked about this big NAR real estate settlement and how it's changing the way buyer's representatives are compensated, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded like a lot of paperwork to me. It didn't sound like anything was going to be different other than some lawyers make money.
Yeah, it sounded just more like a wording and extra paper.
If you're outside of, you know, we're in Flagstaff today, but if you're like, we get listeners from other areas as well, and you're like, I'm tired of, there's literally like just people wandering around. Like the guy who moved here from Portland, he moved to Sedona, right?
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there's a lot of people listening that maybe are like, I got to get out. I mean, Flagstaff's a good, we pick on some of the government and stuff, but Flagstaff's an isolated community in the second largest county in the nation, but one of the most sparsely populated areas. That's not a bad place to be nowadays when it comes, and I think that's why prices have gone up so much, because when everything goes crazy, and if you study history, you look back even to Roman times, a lot of those people started shedding off into the country when it got real crazy. Mm-hmm. And then they became later like the, you know, the city states eventually, you know, it's all another story. But anyway, people like want to get away from concentrations of people.
Yeah.
And I think Flagstaff's pretty good. You got modern conveniences, but you're also,
it's any direction you go, a desirable location, but even more so when, you know, like when Phoenix is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and People are looking for some.
So Kelly can help
outside
you out.
Stuff.
That's my point. Kelly Broaddus can help you out in your relocation to get a nice house in an area that has still lots of space. Right. And I think you want to be in lower density areas nowadays is my point. Call Kelly Broaddus. Maybe you're thinking different, but that's what I'm thinking. 888-446-5602. 888-446-5602. Or go to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. What's the one with the planet thing? Was it the...
Yeah, Planet Fitness.
Yeah, they're in getting some flack on...
Yeah, well, some woman was in the women's locker room. Which should be for women.
Well, that's her first mistake. Why is she in the women's locker room?
What? I mean,
don't they have?
Did you really go in there and expect to see other women in there? I mean, come on, there should.
That is crazy. You go into the women's locker room and
anyone can go in there, really.
Yeah, you should know that there could be anything in there now. Mm-hmm. A dude.
Yeah.
A dude pretending to be a girl. Girl pretending to be a guy. A kid pretending to be a cat.
Yeah.
You don't know anymore, and you shouldn't have presumptions anymore. But go ahead.
Anyway, she, this lady was in Fairbanks, Alaska in the Planet Fitness women's locker room, and she claims there was a man in there, a biological man.
Okay. How does she know?
Well, they didn't get into that. I don't know if he was not clothed if maybe he had a towel on, but... You can still tell.
There was evidence.
Man.
She based this
on
evidence.
Well, he was in there shaving.
I've seen some signs.
And she claims that there was what looked like a 12-year-old girl or around 12 in the locker room at the same time.
Unbelievable.
So she complained about it, and she took a picture, I guess, to prove. But then they kicked her out, and they said, you can't come back.
Because
you
violated.
Can't take pictures. Yeah, you can't do that.
Would she have gotten kicked out if she had not taken a picture and just complained about it?
Well, I don't know about that.
Or
maybe.
Was it the pictures in the locker room?
They have been. They've been.
That's happened
telling
before
people,
in other places.
You don't need to come here then.
They've caused some flack for this.
Anyway, there was like some boycotting of Planet Fitness over this because they aren't doing anything about the men, biological men,
going into
being in the
room.
Women's locker room.
Yeah.
And so these boycotts caused Planet Fitness to lose $400 million in value last month in March.
Like stock value. Uh-huh.
Okay. Just like,
It's like the Anheuser-Busch thing again.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Dillon Mulvaney thing.
What do they do about it?
They changed policy. They recognize that a lot of people, especially girls, don't want boys in the locker room. It's boys shaving, things like that. Maybe walking around, showing other, stuff. And they changed course, and now everybody can go back.
No.
Oh, I was way off.
they wouldn't do that.
They didn't do that, okay.
No, so they've decided to change CEOs, and the new CEO is, right out of the DEI handbook. She's signed the CEO DEI pledge. And
oh, good, good.
All
I
that.
Feel safer.
So what I call it is doubling down. Like, it's not only are they not changing their policy, but they're literally diving in, head first, all in.
Yeah, going for it. Okay.
Yeah, not only are we going to keep doing this, but we're not doing enough.
Look, if you don't want to go work out somewhere, I've got a bunch of stuff that needs to be dug down in Camp Verde. You'll get a good workout. Yeah. You can wear whatever shorts you want. We want some clothing. We do insist on some clothing. And we do have, I guess technically we have unisex bathrooms because we all use the same one. So it's just one at a time.
Yeah.
So if you've got anything like that, it's got a lock. So
people don't.
You could go in there and really do whatever you want. And we're good to go. Well, this country's out of its mind. I mean, it's like I said, the furries thing is another one.
Yeah.
That's just bizarre.
I can't understand why a biological man would need to be in the women's locker room that bad. I don't get it. There are family changing rooms and places like that.
Why don't they do that? Why don't they, if you really want to, it's just, why don't we just agree that, if you're a boy, you don't go in the girls' locker room and vice versa.
No matter how much you think you
deserve
should
to be there.
Or you think you're entitled to it, it makes everyone else or nearly everyone else uncomfortable in there. So please just recognize that.
Look, things I probably shouldn't say on air, but you all been in the locker room before, and there's always at least one person that they are fine walking around totally naked and not to get too descriptive, they're bending over, putting lotion on, and you're like, dude, seriously, just go in the stall. I mean, and that's like me in a locker room with other guys. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be so shy that I'm, you know, huddling in the corner.
Yeah.
But just generally speaking, I'm like, okay, let's have some decorum in here, you know? But if I, if there's a girl running around there, I'd probably feel uncomfortable. If I was a girl, and in the girl's locker room and a boy's going,
if our daughters are in there,
I would be irate. And I couldn't imagine. You can imagine.
Because so, it's not only if there was a biological man in there, even if he was covered up, he's got a towel on, he's got shorts, whatever. The fact that your daughter might be in there wanting to change.
Oh, it's just,
and he's in there also, it's like maybe she's not even seeing anything on him, but
maybe he is,
but he might be. And I'm not saying that happened. I don't know, but it's just, you shouldn't even invite it to happen. Makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've asked my dad this before, cause my dad's coached baseball teams for, I don't know, since I've been alive, like before I was alive, 50 years now, like college, high school, all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, how do you feel about the, you know, the locker room situation? And I mean, even he was I wouldn't want a woman in the locker room with the men's locker room. Like, I wouldn't even want that, you know? And it's like, men aren't comfortable with it either, like you were saying.
It's a perversion that's going on, and it's just becoming labeled as acceptable.
But instead of just like trying to find a solution around this, like, let's just add another locker room for the, you know, that situation.
The family locker room.
The family style one or whatever. Instead of doing that, they refuse to do that. And the fitness place, the schools and stuff like that, they're just like, no, too bad. You're the one with the problem.
If you're in an area that's not crazy governed, you know, governed by crazy people, you'd put up a sign that says, hey, if you still got your parts, you can't come in here. We got the family room for you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just got to be, you got to start being blunt with these people, because there's a sickness in the society at this point.
Right.
And they're pushing it more and more. And back to the furries thing. So this is Blaze. They reported that dozens of students and their parents staged a protest against the furries last Wednesday at Mount Nebo Middle School in Payson, Utah, about an hour south of Salt Lake City. Students reported that furries had barked at them, chewed on sticks in class, played fetch in the halls. I remember when I used to do that in school. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? And even bit classmate. Well, yeah. I mean, that happens, right? Sometimes, like, preschool, somebody Billy bites someone, you know? I mean, I get it. But these are probably, like...
They're middle school.
It's middle school. Yeah, so... But middle school, this is when things are happening. Remember the Flagstaff working group there, the employees, that's, we're talking about fifth graders.
Flagstaff Unified.
Talking about sex education just, a couple weeks ago or back in February. And, you know, that these kids at 10 years old, they're fifth graders, they're still exploring their gender. They haven't landed on their gender yet. And, you know, there's going to be boys with their periods and stuff like that. So this is just normal stuff. So it's not that abnormal to go from that to people dressing up as giant cats and, you know, biting people and chasing their tail, I guess. Yeah. Right. So of course the media called it bunk, you know, is blah, blah, blah. And now they're backing off.
I think the school was saying, no, that's not true. That's made up.
But then they had some pictures and stuff, and something's obviously going on out there. You're seeing this more and more. And then you see a school district in Michigan basically saying anything goes. Children are taught they can claim. And I watched a video of this girl reading this book. I'll get to the book title here in a second, but you got to claim your pronouns. It's a kid's book. I mean, this is like a kid's book geared towards very young, under fifth grade, because the words are like, you know, me, he, z, tree, you know, just claim whatever you want. He and she, by creating the way they want to be addressed. Here's a quote. You can use your own name as a pronoun. The book says you can change pronouns from he to she or she to he. You can use new ones like Z or create your own like tree. Some people use they, which is a perfect way. There are many more pronouns waiting to be discovered and used. This is like Dr. Seuss.
I was just going to say, it's like Dr. Seuss.
It's like Dr. Seuss was pretty bizarre.
But he was pretty out there.
He was pretty out there. But I mean, I think he'd even look at this and say, oh my gosh, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, we went way down the rabbit hole. So they got this, the parents were obviously and rightfully pissed off. that you're teaching my kids this wacky stuff. And these, they're so influenced at that age and so young. And then next thing, you wonder why there's a gender, an identity crisis, and a mental health crisis, and a suicide crisis, and you name it in this country, and that so many kids, record numbers, are more depressed than ever before.
Yeah.
You've taken away one of the bedrocks of humanity, which is boy and girl.
Yeah.
And you're telling these people, you can be a tree. Dude, you cannot be a tree. I mean, I know that there's some parents, and you know, the hover parents are always told that you can be whatever you want. You can be over. Not really. I mean, you have to be realistic with your kids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sometimes you say, oh, okay, you've tried that.
Well, usually that statement was reserved for a future profession, a future, you know, life for yourself or whatever, hobby or something.
Yeah, but now we're talking like literally.
Yeah, but this is like literally.
You want to be a tree for a day? You want to be a furry for a day? Yeah, it's good to go. You'll be okay. Hey, I got good news for you. And let me pull this up. I posted this on, I guess it's good news. Who really knows anymore? But it may be good news if parents take action. And I had on Shiri Sapir last week. She's the second vice chair of the Arizona Republican Party, and she ran for superintendent of public instruction. Really encouraging people to run for these school boards. Mm-hmm. You either got, if you're not willing to put in the time, and if you're going to kind of just turn your back and say, I'll use my local school district, Flagstaff Unified School District, everything's fine. It's not. It is not fine in that school district. So you either got to get your kids out of there. And if you're there, and we had a great email last week, somebody that needs to be there for, was it special needs or something? I'm sorry, I can't remember.
I want to say it was like dyslexia or something like fine. That. A learning problem.
There's some cases where it's like they're the only ones offering these services, and I get that. So everybody has their reasons. You better be ready to deprogram your kids. You're going to have to be on them because you're not going to be able to, you're going to have trouble keeping up. And that's fine. There's certain cases you're going to have to be in there. But if you can find an alternative, you should. If you don't have some kind of is there really a dire reason to be in that school district? I don't think so for most people. However, if you're not going to pull your kids, you really got to get involved. Mm-hmm. I mean you've got to be saying, what happened at this February meeting when you guys were saying we want to get rid of boys and girls? And what are you talking about with boys when their periods? What was that county employee talking about? You better get into that with them and say, and send them an email and say, hey, I don't want this stuff for my fifth grader. What's going on here, guys? Mm-hmm. You know, or run for the school board, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's what Shiri Sapir was saying last week. Hey, get involved. There's a lot of people not running for these positions. Anyway, on Saturday, I put out a notice to concerned parents, FUSD board members resigning. Let's see. It is, who is it? Christine Pavlik, board member, is resigning in May. And she's overseen a decline in FUSD enrollment. I wonder why people are leaving, right? Plus, now they're doing the gender crazy stuff. They did the DEI stuff. They did the mask stuff. The closing
they're doing
school
it all.
Stuff.
They're doing it all.
They're fully in. She's resigning. So there is a position open. And if you go to talkwithjeff.com, put your name down for this. If you're a parent in this district, put your name down for this and get involved. And the county's going to have to appoint this Coconino County Superintendent of Schools, Cheryl Mango Paget, is now seeking applications for an appointment to fill the vacancy. An appointment would go to the end of December 31st, 2024. Not a long time. So
right, because there'll be
down.
An election.
Yeah, put your name down and get involved with this. So I was glad to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
So good news there. Talkwithjeff.com. Talkwithjeff.com. Check that out. And do we have time for pronouns? I got to get Olivia in here. Yeah, let's do the pronouns real quick. So I got an email from someone inviting me to something, and you know, they signed their thing she, her, hers. And I was like, what is that?
Yeah, hers.
It's hers. That's a new one. I was like, okay. And there's a link that says, what is this? Mm-hmm. So I went to pronouns.org. Look at that group. Anyway, it's all good. It's all good. You know, whatever. It's all good. Anyway, what are personal pronouns and why do they matter? They go in to explain how to use the pronouns correctly. And let me get to the how section. They go into you, You are a writer and wrote that book yourself. Those ideas are yours. I like both you and your ideas. Then you can do singular third person. Usually that's the they, them thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so just so you do, not pronounce that is acceptable to use when you don't know if a person goes by another set or sets of pronouns. So you just like Angela's right there. And I'm like, hey, they, right?
I guess if you don't know.
How does that make sense? Yeah, I'd just be like, hey, you. I'd just be like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not doing the they, them thing. But they go on to talk about how to use it. They are, so if you want to use it in a sentence, they are, so she is a writer, right? They use that as an example. He is a writer and wrote that book himself. Or they are a writer and wrote that book themselves. But that doesn't even make sense because it's like singular and plural.
Right.
That's what I was taught.
Yeah.
And then you can also use Z and her.
It's like H-I-R.
H-I-R, her, like here. It's here. That's how you pronounce it. It's here. So that's a pronoun now. Z is a writer and wrote that book himself. Those ideas.
Herself.
Herself. Oh, herself. See, I would lose points on my social credit score.
Yeah.
Because I said herself when it's herself.
Yeah.
It's herself. And then I like both here and here ideas. Please note that Z is usually pronounced with the long E and that here is, its forms are usually pronounced like the English word here. Okay, so here is here and Z is Z. How do you make sense of this?
I know.
This was a county employee that sent me. That I got this email from.
I have never seen either one of those until right now.
No. And that's, so I just encourage everyone to go to pronouns.org and make sure, because the social credit score is probably coming soon. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to get dinged. So you don't want to say her, you want to say here. Or you might want to say her, but sometimes you got to say here.
I might not care if I get dinged. I'm not doing it.
I think Angela and I better make sure we're going to pay for everything with cash. I don't think we're going to survive in the brave new world that these guys are, I don't know if they're guys. They're hers. The thems are creating. Really, people. I mean, how does somebody not land from the past and look at this and say, whoa, what happened? You know, we're the Morlocks here.
The effort that is going into this is astronomical.
Imagine how many potholes we could fill if these people actually did something useful in their life. Olivia joins me with some riveting stories.
Yeah, I have a whole array here.
Yeah, you got enough for the rest of the week. A
couple different topics.
Yeah, we got like, it's raining gold and stuff like that. Real quick, because I mentioned this earlier with Angela, I said you better hire those felons. This is an article from Zero Hedge. I guess Sheetz convenience stores, according to Zero Hedge, has been accused of discriminating against minority job seekers by refusing to consider applicants with criminal record. It's a popular U.S. convenience chain, and they require applicants to have no criminal record, which used to kind of be the norm. Although I'm not completely like, if you did your time and you have repaid your debt to society and you get out, I don't want to be like, you can never hire a felon.
No second chances are allowed ever.
Exactly. So I get that. And I think that if you've proved, hey, I've been out of jail for 2 years or 2 months, whatever your standard is, 20 years. And I've redeemed myself. I haven't been back to jail or in criminal trouble. I mean, come on, we've got a second chance.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we've all screwed up. And nowadays you never know what you're going to be put in jail for. Anyway, there's a lawsuit, April 18th, U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. It's that thing. EEOC announced. Imagine, I don't even know half these things. You know, half times I read these commissions and
there's a million of them.
It's like, what? We've got that. They filed a lawsuit against Sheetz Incorporated, accusing the 24/7 convenience store chain of having discriminatory hiring practices that target minority applicants. They cited the data that shows that, this person gets hired and this person doesn't get hired and this and that. So I don't know. Meanwhile, I got to wait like 20 minutes to get wire and spray paint at the big box store. So it's like, you know, we've got employment problems in this country, but I don't know if that's your policy, you don't hire people with a criminal record. Isn't that your right to do that in this country anymore? Apparently not. You're going to fight a lawsuit, right?
So then it'll take forever.
So now you might have people stealing stuff and people behind the counter stealing stuff. Internal and external shrinkage. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right, what do you got, Olivia?
Well,
which riveting tale do you want to share with all of us?
I wouldn't call this riveting, but
it's riveting.
I have one. A couple accused of piecing together phony lottery ticket claiming to win $1 million prize.
What'd they do? Like,
which that just sounds like they're just destined to. They did it terribly. What they did is they had two separate lottery tickets and they taped them together in the middle. And and of course there's like those barcodes on it now, or like the number ID, and they're just gonna get caught up, because even the officials are saying that they just, well, it's like unskillfully pieced together, the words on the back didn't match up, it's clearly taped, and then so it's these two people that are doing it together and they both have different like stories. So they're saying that's what actually led to them being arrested, is that they just had a completely different, like, inconsistencies.
Did they try to turn it in? Like, go
in? Oh, yeah. They went and turned it in.
Here's my lottery ticket. I won the... How much was it for? Did the article say?
Like, how much the fake ticket was?
No. How much, like, prize money? Was it millions or... You know, I'm just wondering how much...
$1 million
prize. Okay, I'm here to collect my $1 million prize. And they show up and it looks like a letter that people... You know, like the old... the serial killers. It looked like something... A serial killer, like cut out of a magazine, like different words. It's like, did it look like that? And they tried to collect. Well, these people should actually probably go to Congress.
Oh, they sound skilled and ready for the job.
Yeah, they sound like they're already past the basic test, which is trying to defraud people.
Yeah, but I mean, of course, those people that are like getting the lottery tickets are going to check out your $1 million ticket.
Well, yeah, I don't think they have the million there. But
at first, they thought it was like actually a $50 ticket that they had used to cut, but then they found out that it was a zero, like win nothing. They're really just tired of the ripoff of lottery tickets.
You know, it's not. There is a guy that just dropped out of a race for one of the Arizona legislative seats who allegedly there was fraudulent signatures and all this. And that's somebody who like wants to go represent you. That's what I'm saying. There's not much difference between these ding dongs who
baby steps.
Yeah, it's baby steps. But it's like, how do you think you're actually going to get away with this? Do you not even like, you know, play this out in your head, game this out and say, do you think they'll notice the tape?
Well, yeah, of course she's saying, I accidentally ripped it apart and I only taped it after.
Oh, okay.
I see. Oh, here, let me grab the $1 million from the cash register real quick.
Let me go in the back and grab. They probably thought the money was actually there.
It's like, away with it.
Yeah, I'll take that in Snickers bars. Oh, man.
Oh, you're out of chips.
I was going to get, 4 million bags of, well, you couldn't even get, like, you go to convenience stores now. I think you guys, we stopped in Camp Verde. We went to one and the little bag of combos was like $4.
Yeah, it was like $4.
Right? I mean, it's always been more at those things, but now it's like, it's a great doubling.
Their price tag very suspiciously was not on there.
Oh, they can't do it anymore. It's like a Zimbabwe menu. You can't put a price tag on anything. The
erasable, like, yeah.
Yeah. It's like
right in the new number.
As you walk into a lot of places nowadays with the devaluation of our currency, you almost have to
prepay.
They're
carrying the old prices away.
Yeah, you have to prepay for it because by the time you get to the register.
By the time you get through the line.
They've added a zero or something like that. Oh, man. Okay, what else you got for me?
Wow, this might help with your money issue.
Oh, good. I am looking for some money solutions.
An active volcano in Antarctica is spewing $6,000 in gold dust every day.
Oh, wow. How close do you got to get? Are you going to get incinerated?
Well, it is like active, but it's saying that the people researching this are finding traces of gold in the air up to 621 miles from the volcano.
Where's this, Antarctica? So
Antarctica.
So 621 miles will get you to like maybe the southern tip of South America or something. I don't think if you're out there scooping like a butterfly catcher, you know, trying to get some gold.
Huh. Oh, I caught it for a little piece.
$6,000 a what?
In gold dust a day.
Like a day?
Yeah. Huh. So it's Mount Erebus. In case you need to like go there.
Sounds like something from Greek mythology. Mount Erebus.
So it's releasing about 80 grams of gold daily.
I don't even know what a gram is, but that sounds like a lot. About
$6,000. Well, it's about $6,000 worth, just like in the air. Okay, in the
explosions. So that's let's look up the current price of. Let's see. Current price of gold as of
the thing is good luck finding it.
Well, yeah, it's going to be in pretty diluted form. Let's call it almost $2,400. So it's spewing out about, well, you know, 2 ounces, 2 to 3 ounces of gold a day is shooting out of that volcano.
Aren't we going on vacation there?
I'd like to go to. I got a buddy of mine went to Antarctica. You take a cruise ship from the very southern tip of South America, from like Tierra de Fuego, which is something fire. Maybe it's leading to that gold mine, right?
Fire, yeah.
Yeah, and you can actually take a ship out there and go. Is that where the penguins are? Yeah. Antarctica's the penguins. Yeah. North Pole's the polar bears. There was penguins there, but the polar bears ate them all.
So they swam down the ocean. So they swam down to
get the gold mine there. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead and get that gold. So, okay, what else? Let's do one more. She's like, I don't know.
Well,
isn't that enough?
Are we going to go with cicadas or artists?
Well, we could combine them. Giant cicadas eat the artists.
Or artists paint the cicadas. Let's be peaceful here.
Yeah. Well, there was an artist one in Flagstaff where they're going to paint the boxes or something.
The city is like calling the artists to create designs for the traffic signal cabinets, which like I've seen that like I like Fox Glen Park. There's I know that one just on like it. Popped onto the box and
all of a sudden
it's something to look at instead of the just like gray bleak thing. So
okay. I don't hate art. I don't hate public art. I've just seen a lot of bad public art in like Flagstaff. They used to have the alien thing on Postal Boulevard that then somebody bought and used in the demo derby. You know, they spend like 50 grand on that. What are they paying? A couple grand for the stuff? For people to go paint the boxes?
Yeah, it's like you have to apply and they're going to choose some. It sounds like there's a selection panels comprised of community members. Ooh, okay. I should be on that.
Yeah.
And then there's like up to $2,500 depending on like the location that they end up painting.
Okay. I don't want to be a total Grinch. I'm so sick of getting taxed for everything and then they use this money. I know. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
No. It says what tax it's coming from, and I just thought you might want to read that. Funded by the City of Flagstaff's Bed, Board, and Beverage, the BBB.
Yeah, no, I know. And I just went out and bought lunch for $50. You know, Grandpa and I went out for Chinese food for the lunch special. It was $50 for two of us.
But it's a pretty drive.
I know. I can drive, and I cannot be so depressed looking at road art as I'm driving along. Like, I just spent $50 on lunch, and I'm like, okay. I saw some road art. I guess it's okay. It's a specific tax, the BBB tax, that is put in the special pile in the corner, right? By the lottery tickets. and it's only, you know, supposed to be used for beautification and artwork. Okay, fine. The citizens of Flagstaff voted for that, I guess. I mean, I'm just so tired of taxes. We get taxed for everything. I would say get rid of the BBB tax. Go to the sustainability department because Flagstaff has a sustainability department, as does most communities, right? Nowadays, and they're grabbing like people grabbing gold in the sky. They're grabbing 5% of the city's general fund is going to that sustainability department now. I would say get rid of the BBB tax and raid the sustainability department. Put a padlock on that door, wherever that office is, or get those workers for the sustainability department. I don't know, maybe there's an artsy one there. Just have them paint it.
I was going to say, I would say somebody is going to be willing to do it for free.
You know,
like somebody will be willing to like paint around the community.
Yeah. I think that you're getting your name out there. Plus you're doing community service.
Yeah, that's what you do. And you sign it or you have people signing it and then you make like mini replicas on their campus or whatever and do a little stand next to it.
I mean,
and then you'll catch any tourists that are like, ooh, famous artwork.
Yeah. And I mean, apparently there's a lot of people on paint. I see graffiti everywhere. You know, so it's like just enlist them to do like real art, not the graffiti crap. I worry about whenever you paint something like that, a mural publicly, the graffiti taggers, I hate that they do it. They go and tag it and it's like almost impossible to fix. Okay, I don't know. Do I hate street art? Eh, maybe. Not really, but I hate using our tax dollars because they're wasting our money left and right. So I don't trust them to do anything. Okay, one more. This one is, what was it? You had a second, another one.
Oh.
You said it was between street art and something else.
Okay, well, I don't really understand. I was saying it's a misleading headline on here. So this is the headline that caught my attention. The cicadas are coming and some may become flying salt shakers of death.
Salt shakers of death.
And so of course I was like, flying salt shakers of death. But then like 3 pages down into the article, it's like
who writes a 3-page article nowadays? Nobody reads it.
They're like, it's like 10 pages. It keeps going on and on.
It's too much. Just get to the point in 2 paragraphs.
It's
or else we can't grab it.
So these cicadas are like coming out, and in the 1800s was like, wait, what was the exact year? Oh, 1864.
Oh, okay, sorry. 1803?
Yeah, 1803 was the last time that all of these different breeds like co-emerged, because a lot of the cicadas go underground for like years at a time.
Have they been underground since 1803?
No wonder they're flying salt shakers of death. They're like corpses.
They're old. They've been preserved with salt.
But there's like a bunch of different kinds coming out at once. And all of those same kinds, if I'm understanding correctly, have not come out together since 1803.
That's not, okay.
Which I think was the time that it like, wait, was that locusts or whatever that blotted out the sky?
That was like in Egypt.
No.
Like Moses.
That
and
was
stuff.
In America.
It was in America? That happened? Yes. Wasn't that the Dust Bowl type thing or something? You're going to have to research that one a little more. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I just know sometime during the 1800s, there were so many locusts that you couldn't see. It was like a black cloud coming and from space or something.
Are these...
It's a black cloud. But these are cicadas.
Are these... And just, those are the annoying ones. They make it the high-pitched squealing. Yeah. Like sometimes when I do the show from Camp Verde, even with the windows closed... You can hear these things.
You can hear them go on and off. One starts and they all do.
That's where my ringing in my ear actually started a couple years ago. It was the cicadas and it never stopped. There might be one in my brain.
It didn't stop singing.
Yeah, it went in there.
What the flying salt shaker of death thing is that it's saying that one of the more unusual mysteries scientists hope to investigate involves a parasitic fungus that attacks them, turning them into what one expert calls flying salt shakers of death. So let's hope that these cicadas are not going to be like falling out of the sky, unless maybe they're like salty and they'll like season your meal.
This sounds like apocalypse type stuff.
I know.
I'm a little concerned here. Well, I'm not too concerned because are these the same people that predicted earlier this winter that we were going to have a 1/3 chance of a bad winter, a 1/3 chance of a normal winter, and a 1/3 chance of a above average winter? Is it the same people that do that? Because, you know, then I'm not too concerned because they seem to get everything wrong all the time. But, okay, this could probably affect crops, I guess, is a big issue. Like, they're going to go eat everything, and then we're going to have a food crisis.
I mean, I think that that's a possibility. Mostly this article is 6 pages. I'm all excited about researchers are going to get to research.
Oh, okay. These are like the people like, oh, I'm so excited that this comet's going to come really, really close to Earth and we'll get to watch it.
Yeah.
And they're the first ones that get burnt up when it hits the Earth type
new
thing.
New data on how fast a human burns up from a meteor.
Yeah, from a meteor or gets eaten by a cicada. All right. So, be worried, folks.
The salt shakers of death,
the cicadas. I've learned that most things, and I think Benjamin Franklin said something like this. I will not try to quote him, but basically, or maybe it was, maybe that wasn't Benjamin Franklin. Maybe that was a famous writer. Somebody once said, we don't know who to attribute it to, or I don't. Most things that I worried about never came true, something like that. So most things you worry about in life never happen and never impact you. So I wouldn't get too worried about the salt shakers of death.
Although I am just reading on the last major swarm of the locusts between 1873 and 1877.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot of years.
Yeah.
200 million in crop damage and blotted out the sun.
Oh, great. Okay. So it's going to be a fun summer. It's going to be election year and attack of the cicadas. We have given you more information than you need to digest for a single day, so
you need to take some time.
Take some time, let it all soak in. Contemplate it, because there'll be a whole new batch of different stuff tomorrow.
There's more.
There's more, guaranteed. All right, I hope you all have a great, safe night, though. Hey, and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done that.
Escape to Antarctica, get some gold, avoid the flying salt shakers of death.
What more can we say?
The deal.
The deal. All right, take care. See you soon. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.